Radio, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. It is a pleasure to welcome Charlene Lee. She is the founder and CEO of Altimeter Group, author of a New York Times bestseller, Open Leadership, How Social Technology Can Transform How You Lead, and co-author of Groundswell, Winning in a World Transformed by Social Technologies. That was named one of the best business books in 2008. And she's done it again. A new book, The Engaged Leader, A Strategy for Your Digital Transformation. The Engaged Leader by Charlene Lee, who joins us now. Hi, Charlene.
Hi there.
The Engaged Leader. We hear about the need to become involved in digital technology if you're going to be an effective and engaged leader. And yet you open up the book by telling us the story of Jenny Romedy, CEO at IBM, and how she doesn't use a Twitter account.
Yeah, and it was kind of surprising to me, right? Because people kept saying, oh, Jenny's such an engaged leader, especially the people at IBM and her customers. And I went, but she doesn't use a Twitter account. And I realized that having a Twitter account was actually really smart on her part. Because what she is using, she's using videos, she's using forums and communications and one-on-one interactions with people, primarily inside the company, because she realized that her strategic goals were going to be accomplished better and faster if she could lead more effectively internally. And what she decided was Twitter was going to be more of a distraction than something that was going to help her achieve her goals. So I have a lot of respect for her. She actually decided and has a strategy of what she will do, and just as importantly, what she won't do to be an engaged leader. But believe me, she is actively engaged. She uses many of the tools, the equivalent of Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, internally inside of IBM to accomplish her objectives.
So it's not as if she's a Luddite. She certainly knows technology. She's aware of it. Does it mean that Twitter is not an effective business tool?
It's not an effective business tool for Jenny. And I want to make that very clear. And I would say the very first thing is...
Hello,
can you hear me?
Yeah, you just kind of dropped out there.
You see, okay.
These are part of the challenges of technology. If you could repeat what you were saying.
Sure. I think one of the key reasons is... Having Twitter isn't necessarily the right thing for Jenny and her goals, but there are many ample opportunities and examples that I have in the book of leaders using Twitter. So I don't think it's necessarily a must-do, but you have to have gone through the process to say, does it make sense for my objectives?
So part of this process is figuring out the right tools for your goals.
Exactly. And I think the problem is, leaders often look at the tools and say, well, how can I use this tool? And that's good up to a point, but at some point you have to flip the question and say, how can a tool help me accomplish my goals? Mm. And that is the first and most important thing that any leader has to think about. What are my objectives? What are my goals? And then how can I use these tools to help me achieve them? And unfortunately, many leaders look at these tools and just go, I don't understand them. They're hard to use. I see my teenagers using them, my millennials using them. They don't use them in a way that I could use them for business purposes. But I think they're looking at the wrong people. Those people aren't using them to lead. They're using them for personal advancement and information gathering. But as a leader, you have different objectives, and you're going to use these tools in a different way to lead. And that's what the book does. It lays out a systematic way of thinking about, well, what are the things I need to do as a leader in this digital era, and how do I start thinking about using these tools much more strategically to scale my leadership?
Maybe we start by taking a look at what is driving digital transformation, and you've identified that in the book as well.
Yes, there are a couple trends, and one of the biggest trends is really thinking about all the different ways that people now can connect with each other. Clearly, they can connect with each other through social channels. They can connect each other anywhere they want because of mobility. And then there's so much more data now available. that you can go and get information about customers and employees that you couldn't before because they simply were connecting with each other and sharing this data. So there are a lot of technology trends that are happening that are changing the nature of work and the relationships we have at work, and that changes the way we lead also.
Does it force a leader in an organization to rethink their place in the organization?
I think it does. You have to rethink your place in terms of that relationship with people, because in the past, communications were so rare and so difficult that you really held on to them to be very sparse and very precious. And now communications are so much easier. You can have better communications, and that can potentially draw you closer to your employees and to your customers. Now, that can be kind of uncomfortable for some leaders who are more accustomed to a more distant kind of relationship because of the power that existed and the lack of communications. So when you communicate with people and they find it pretty easy to communicate with you, well, guess what happens? They become more casual, and they may ask you questions that they normally wouldn't have asked in the past. And that can be construed as challenging, as provocative, and leaders sometimes have a really hard time with that.
They tend to be almost isolated and protecting the data that they have because they have tough decisions that they have to make, and they don't want anybody in on those corporate secrets, if you will.
Right, and I think there's a place for that. But increasingly, what you can also see is they're not taking advantage of that connectivity to be connected with your employees and with your customers in a much more fluid way. So that if you can get that information much faster and better, you can actually make better decisions. I spoke with one CEO, David Thoughty. He's the CEO of Telstra, the largest telecom company in Australia. He said, "The biggest challenge I have as a CEO is trying to figure out what the truth is out there." By nature, he's isolated from his 40,000 employees, from his millions of customers. So how does he really understand what the truth is? What's really going on out there in the ecosystem? And these new tools, because people are sharing all the time, the fact that he can get access to it on his mobile devices anytime, and the fact that there's so much data gives him such a better sense and feel for what's happening, and then he can make better decisions.
You talk about the different steps that executives can take to transform to a digital environment, and you list those three and dig into quite some detail on them. Listen, share, and engage. Let's go through them, starting with listen. Why and how can you listen to, in the example you just gave us of Telstra, some 40,000 employees?
Right, and what David does is he uses what is called an enterprise social network. It's sort of like a Facebook for inside the company. And so people can post up updates about what they're doing, what they're seeing, interactions with each other, updates on projects, and they can share all that. And it's quick and easy to read all of that without having to get bogged down in lots of updates with emails. So what David does is each morning he goes and looks at that stream of information. And he figures out what's going on, what are hot topics that are being debated inside the company. So he feels he literally has a pulse on what his employees are thinking and feeling in almost real time. And he does the same thing with customers. He listens to what they're saying directly on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on YouTube. And he hears all the complaints. And he takes that into account and goes to work and works with his team to try to make the best business that they can every day and satisfy customers. But now he has a direct access to them. He kind of keeps them at the center of how he's working and thinking. And that is listening at scale is what I call it. It's like you could always listen to customers, but you might do a survey once or twice a year. You might call your employees and meet them in a random walk down the hallway, but now you can listen to them all the time.
I think one of the examples that kind of hit home for me was Red Robin introduced a new hamburger in their Red Robin restaurants, which is basically a hamburger chain across the country. They introduced a new one. It didn't quite take off like they thought it would, but they got feedback and were able to change fairly quickly to a successful launch in a matter of about a month. something that might have taken several months or a year or longer to figure out, or it might have just been a failed launch. But it was interesting where they got their information. They were listening to not their customers, but their employees.
And that's right. That was a surprising thing, because when you ask customers, again, they're usually just irate, they're mad. And what the employees could say is they could give a lot more detail, because they serve not just one customer, but they serve 10, 20, 40 a day. So they could see, okay, this is a pretty consistent thing. I've served it to these many people, and these are the consistent things that were wrong with it. And they could diagnose, well, what happens? Does it matter how long it sits out there? Is it matter when you're serving it with these types of things? Because the food actually changes as it sits there, waiting to be served with everything else. And gathering that data allowed them to tweak the recipe, change it, experiment with it, put it back into field, test it again, control for all of the variables, and get it out in 30 days, which is mind-blowingly fast.
So listening, and that's an art form just on an individual level, but listening at scale requires a whole new skill set that most people just aren't familiar with. The next step, share, and you say share to shape. What do you mean by that?
Well, the example I put is Rosemary Turner, who is the territory district manager for UPS in Northern California. 17,000 employees is what she's responsible for. And her main goal and objective is to develop a better relationship with employees so that they feel comfortable talking to her about anything. She wants them to feel like there's an open door. And she started using Twitter because she realized they were using it themselves in their trucks, in particular in the warehouses, to stay in touch with each other. So she would start posting pictures, recognizing employees, telling people that there's a big event, don't forget, avoid the ballpark because it's a playoff game, for example. And one of the things that she realized is that people started seeing her as a real person, not some person way up high in management and executive, but somebody who was real, who had a face, who told jokes, was looking out for them. And so they come knocking on her door when there's an issue. They ping her and email her and walk up to her because they feel like they've gotten to know her. What she's doing is she's sharing content to shape the relationship between her and these frontline workers in a way that that relationship didn't really exist. It was always through these people, but they never felt like they could actually approach her. And by sharing, she was changing and shaping that relationship in a new direction.
Mm. We've heard that old phrase, an open door policy. It's kind of tough to do with 17,000 people that you're working with, though. Your door would have to be a revolving door and on a conveyor belt. Or you could use the new technology, the digital technology, to achieve pretty much the same thing. And then the upshot here is that you've got people not just kind of guessing at what you're trying to achieve. They have a much better understanding of what you're trying to achieve. They know what you want. They know what is expected. Then they can spend their time instead of complaining or not getting it done. They can actually focus on delivering that change.
Exactly. We spend an inordinate amount of time trying to guess what our leaders want. We parse out their words in their last meeting. We sit around the water cooler and try to anticipate, well, what's the right thing to do. No, we should do this versus that. Versus, you just know. Or you even better ask if there's any confusion.
Mm.
And what I have found is that leaders who are comfortable and who want this kind of relationship with employees in real life are easily translating this into the digital space. The ones who have a really hard time with this are the ones who don't have this sort of mindset.
Yeah.
Of being open and wanting to have and transform that type of relationship.
As we continue with the next step here, that's the engaged part. We'll find out what that means to be an engaged leader. That's the title of the book, by the way. The Engaged Leader by Charlene Lee. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking with Charlene Lee, the new book, The Engaged Leader, a strategy for your digital transformation. What makes a leader engaged in a digital world?
Well, I think there are three ways, again, that we've been talking about to be engaged. You can listen, and just by listening means that you're showing up and you're engaging. You may actually come back and talk to somebody in real life, but you're still listening and engaging that way. You're sharing content, stories, and ideas. And then finally, you're actually engaging with someone. And what I mean by that is when you're actually talking with them, one-on-one or a group of people. But there's a back and forth. Engagement means I say something, you say something. I listen, you listen, we go back and forth. There's a dialogue and a conversation. And hopefully, through that conversation and dialogue, we're growing and deepening our relationship. So I think in the end, the engaged leader is a good leader, somebody who values the relationship enough with employees and with customers to take the time to engage with them. This can be kind of difficult if you have thousands of employees or thousands of customers, and it can be difficult even if you just have 10. The key thing here, though, is that technology has allowed us to have that type of engagement at scale and on a much more frequent basis than we ever could have in the past.
And for many people, I would imagine that the transformation to an engaged leader is a difficult process. A lot of folks just aren't particularly comfortable with the technology. Is there a way to ease into this transformation?
Again, I think the technology is a huge barrier for many people, but I encourage you to take just one step at a time and just begin by listening to what people are saying, the most important audiences you care about for your business, and just listen to them for a few minutes a day. And you'll begin to start engaging with them because you hear what they're saying. You're going to want to say something back to help them with their situations or help them become more knowledgeable, and then at some point you will start feeling comfortable talking to them. We rarely in real life just go up to somebody and just start talking to them. We first try to listen in on the conversation. We share a little bit of stories, and then we get to know them and feel more comfortable with it. Digital is no more different than that. And I think when we apply what we already know as leaders, what is good leadership, we apply that to the digital space, we can be very successful at it too.
And for those leaders that are willing to start that transformation, what is the payoff?
I think in the end, it's really about being more competitive, more connected with your employees and with your customers. And if you can do that better than your competition, you will win that business. They will go online, they will talk with their other friends and their customers like themselves. Employees will think about going to work for engaged leaders. So I think in the end, what kind of leader do you want to be? Do you want to be the best leader possible, to have the best business possible? Then I would encourage you to think about how can you use digital and social channels to be that leader that you want to be.
There was an interesting stat in the book that something like 13% of people worldwide are engaged in their work. That's a sad number. If you could raise that number, maybe if you could double it, triple it, imagine what a difference that would make in your organization.
And more than anything else, I wonder sometimes if organizations want engaged employees. Because engaged employees are ones who are passionate, they care about the business, they put their all into it, and it can also kind of be a pain in the butt. You know, they just maybe, you know, constantly saying, well, I think we should be doing something differently. And not every leader has the confidence to be an engaged leader. They really actually don't want engaged employees. They want employees to do their job. And I think in many ways what we've got to figure out as leaders is what kind of relationship do we really want.
And it really is a transformative mind shift that you're talking about. But if you're hiring these people in the first place, it would seem that eventually you would want to get as much from them as you possibly can. That just seems to make sense. It really is an interesting idea. And of course, to find out more, there's a full book on it now, The Engaged Leader, A Strategy for Your Digital Transformation. The Engaged Leader by Charlene Lee. That's spelled L-I, Charlene Lee, The Engaged Leader. Charlene, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Sinclair. I really appreciate it.